From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Daylight savings time has sadly come to an end, which means we would like to wish you happy glow disc golf season here on PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Lamberson. Sarah, do you actually go play glow golf?
I was just thinking, I have not played glow golf in probably 6 or 7 years.
It's so fun.
It's fun when you have strong ankles and you're not just falling all the time like I am. I'm extremely accident prone.
Yeah, I guess that's an issue.
I've gotten injured during a couple rounds of glow golf.
The thing I really like about glow golf is, number one, you know, it's just cool to see the little lights flying through the air, like little tiny UFOs. And number two, you have a built-in excuse for not putting well.
Because that's true.
It's great.
Maybe I will start doing that again.
It's a win-win situation. So I hope everybody is at least trying to see the positives. Yes, it stinks that it gets dark at like 5 o'clock. At least that's how it is here in Southern California. But that just means you can go out and stick some lights on your discs and go have a fun, unique experience. So with that in mind, Sarah, we got plenty of stuff to talk about on the show this week, but a couple announcements first. Our PDGA Radio Challenge for November is going to be glow golf related. If you're playing glow golf, you know, snap a picture somehow. Might not be easy. And post it on Instagram with hashtag PDGA Radio Challenge, and we'll put you in the mix. Our winner for October was who, Sarah?
Logan Bowers.
Good old
my
Logan
friend
Bowers.
From Nashville, yeah.
Yeah, he had some cool pumpkins. I realized my Instagram account is private, and so my hashtag PDGA Radio Challenge didn't come up, which is a bummer because I had a lot of fun.
Shameful.
With it.
Oh my gosh, yours was awesome.
Yeah.
My handle is
1 mile more. If people want to go look at it and try and request me, maybe I'll say hello. I'm like weird about social media stuff. If you're ever a person who like requests me on Facebook or Instagram or something like that, please don't take it personally if I don't.
You're just so popular.
No, it's not even that. It's more just like I generally try and keep it to where if I've actually like met you and interacted with you in person, just because like I got stuff with my family and things like that. And
I totally agree. I need to. I'm trying to get off Facebook this week.
Oh gosh, you're,
I should have gone your route, but
they have our hooks in everything.
Can I ruin what your video is? So maybe
you can tell people what the video was. Yeah.
Okay, so you basically just threw high-speed discs at pumpkins, right, to see what happened. Yeah, and I'll let people go and request you and watch it for themselves.
Yeah,
it was really
good.
Cool.
It was a good time. I enjoyed it. My daughter helped me film it, and we slowed it down into slow motion so you could really see. I was skeptical. I didn't really think that a disc was going to do what it did to a pumpkin, but it worked out. So
yeah,
it's good times. Anyway, so congrats to Logan Bowers. He's our October winner. Again, PDGA Radio Challenge for November will be glow golf. Post some glow photos, maybe do some cool effects. I don't know, whatever. Do what you got to do for glow. And just go have fun because glow golf is great. Couple other quick announcements before we get into the rest of the show today. Registration is open for international players for the Dynamic Disc Class Blown Open, which is in April, but you got to start planning now. So you can go on the announcements section of PDGA.com, and that will have the links to disc golf scene registration. I believe it opens up to MPO and FPO players above, you know, like the 1,000 and 900 thresholds next week. And then, you know, each sequential week it goes with more registrations for the Glass Blown Open. They expanded it to 4 rounds this year, Sarah. Did you know that on the NT side?
Oh, I don't think I did know that.
Yeah, that was a recent change. 4 rounds.
So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yes. Four rounds for both MPO and FPO division at the Emporia Country Club, which I like. Last year it was kind of tough with the women being at separate courses and the men being at Emporia Country Club. So I think it's great having them all in the same spot. There's going to be some short tees on some holes for the women, so it should be a good time. Dynamic Disc Class Blown Open in April. And then there's registration open now for the Las Vegas Challenge as well on the NT side. So just hit up Disc Golf Scene for all that stuff for registering for our events for 2019. and it's going to be good times. And then one more thing, one more announcement, and this one should be fun, Sarah. So at Pro Worlds, if you were at Pro Worlds, you probably saw a few like production crews cruising around, and that is because there is going to be a production on a network called Outside TV, and it's coming up this Friday, November 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Outside TV. There will be an hour-long production about Pro Worlds. Basically, it's got shot-by-shot footage. It's going to have some behind-the-scenes stuff with Nate Sexton, Ricky Wysocki, Rebecca Cox, Paige Pierce, and Paige Bierkes. Like
Awesome.
some interviews and sit-downs and kind of watching them get ready and things like that. It's the voiceover was done by some weirdo. So you can tune into that and listen to it. No, I did the voiceover for it, which was
I
kind
didn't
of
know
weird.
that.
Yeah, well, I had to like really like play it up. It was kind of hard. It was like I was
What do you mean?
they were like directing me in terms of like tone and enthusiasm and stuff. And like I guess I
Okay.
don't know. I'm curious to see how it sounds to an outsider or just to someone maybe
Someone.
who's listened to like this show and hears my voice on a regular basis, because I feel like I really had to like amp it up a lot. So
You're officially a voice actor.
yeah, man, not a non-paid voice actor, so you got to start somewhere.
Someday.
But
Yeah.
anyway, this is on Outside TV. Outside TV is available on Dish Network, Cox. It's through a bunch of CenturyLink, Google Fiber. It's also available on like Sling and PlayStation Vue. There's an app that they have. I don't know if this is going to be on the app, but they have an Outside TV Features app, which you can get on like Roku and Apple TV, Amazon Fire, stuff like that. I know it's not on like DirecTV or AT&T and some of the other bigger cable networks, but apparently this network does reach like 60 million households.
Wow.
And it's big in like the mountain outdoor scene. So again, that's going to be this Friday, November 9th, 8 p.m. Eastern. And the cool part is if you're like a cord cutter, maybe you won't get to watch it this week, but once it's run its course on Outside TV, then it's going to also be up. We'll be able to, I guess, to put it on like our PDGA YouTube page and stuff like that. So if you don't get to see it now, you will eventually get to see it. It should be pretty cool. And it's just another good opportunity for the growth of the sport. So nice to
Definitely.
get that going this week. I don't know if Sarah Lamerson's career best round made the cut for the production. I'm sorry.
It's okay because it didn't end up being rated 1,000. So
What, did it come in at 999?
it came in at 997. And at one
Oh
point,
man.
so the rating update came out and it was 1,003. And
Right.
I was all happy and excited. And then there was some adjustment made. And it's funny because I was actually having dinner with Chuck Kennedy that day. And he was like, oh, yep, it was over 1,000, but we had to make some adjustment.
Apparently, you should have bought his dinner.
I don't remember why. And yeah, then it came in at 997. So we won't talk about
Well, that's a, hey, oh yeah, let's not talk
that.
about your career best round. Anyway,
It doesn't count if it's not 4 digits.
yeah, okay.
I'm just kidding.
anyway, other kind of little programming notes, real quick. Like we're gonna be in kind of a funky schedule because it's the off season. There aren't gonna be as many big tournaments to talk about. So, Sarah and I aren't exactly locked into a proper schedule. I would say the best way to keep up on the show is either hit PDGA.com or subscribe to PDGA Radio on your favorite podcasting app, because then it'll just get into your feed as soon as we put out an episode. We will check in throughout the off season. Obviously, there's going to be some big news with player moves and stuff like that that we'll want to chime in on. But don't distress if you don't hear from us for a couple weeks at a time. We still love you. So with that in mind, Sarah, let's talk about some player news, because honestly, we took a week off last week and a couple of big things happened. The biggest one being that a lot of like rumoring came true. Paul McBeth and Innova are parting ways after
Yes.
this season, and that it had kind of been floating around out there, but no one really believed it. And then the internet just went boom.
Well, it's funny because it happened on Halloween, and so a bunch of people thought that it was like a trick. They're
Oh my
like, oh,
gosh,
this is
I
just like a
know.
funny thing
That
that
was like that was a little bit mind-numbing for me. Like, and I will give you, Innova is very, very good at April Fool's Day jokes, but like
happened.
Halloween tricks aren't a thing. Like, that's
But they
not, you
want
don't.
they but they couldn't believe it,
I know, but
that
that's
they're
not a
just in such
thing.
disbelief.
I guess. I just.
They wanted it to be a thing. They
I
couldn't wrap
mean,
their brains around it.
right. And I mean, it is, trust me, it is very intriguing. Like, Paul Macbeth has been with the company for, what was it, like, his entire year,
12 years or
12
something.
years. So it's a really, really big move. I mean, he's been the face of that company for, you know, ever since he started winning his world championships back in 2012. And so it's definitely going to shake things up, you know, in the sponsorship category. He hasn't made any announcements yet on what he's doing. There were other fun internet theories that, oh, maybe what this really means is he's just taking a step back from the sport and retiring, so he doesn't need to. No, come
I didn't
on.
see
Like,
that. That's
why would he
ridiculous.
do that? Like, I have never seen any player of his stature who is going to take a step away from the sport then just like relinquish a sponsorship. He could still be sponsored at that point.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's going
That
to
would be
go
very
so
dramatic.
he's going to be sponsored by another company. That's all it comes down to.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll find out what company that is at the beginning of the year, maybe sooner, I don't know. Usually with most player contracts, they go until the end of the year. And that's why you'll see shortly after January 1st, you know, you'll have big rollouts from different companies on social media and stuff like that. Beyond just the whole, oh man, like, Macbeth's leaving Innova, and I'm a big Macbeth fan, I'm also an Innova fan, like, there's some of those things that get tied into this. Like, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of players who are disappointed because there's that whole, you know, loyalty to a team company type of thing. And I'm sure there's going to be people who will try and switch their bags over to whatever company he goes to because
Oh my
they're Macbeth
gosh,
fans.
that's ridiculous.
But I'm more interested, Sarah. Like, I want to talk about what kind of impact something like this might have on the sport overall, if it does. I personally think that this is pretty big for disc golf in general, because I think it kind of shows that, okay, like, there is money and more resources coming into the sport if there is a company out there who can snag the biggest player away from the biggest company. That's pretty interesting to me on just from the business perspective of it. And then I know, Sarah, you had some other thoughts on it. Like, what's your take on how this kind of has a longer term or bigger impact?
Yeah, it sounds like what you said, that it's a business move. A lot of people like to try to speculate about making things like this personal, like, oh, maybe they duped him in some way or went back on a contractual agreement or something like that. And I assure you, it's like someone like Macbeth is going to be, he probably has someone like a financial advisor. You know, he's newly married. They're probably trying to get their finances right and just making the best decision for them as a young couple. So I'm sure that's where most of this came from. But so just having some conversations about other sports, if you know me, I don't really follow other sports, but it seems like sponsorships in other sports aren't as big of a deal. And I think in our sport, since it's so grassroots and all the players are so accessible to sponsors and media and spectators and everyone involved, that it's just, I don't know, for some reason it just makes a really big impact for who you sponsor. And I don't know, I think it would be interesting if people are such Macbeth fans that they're like, oh, well, I'm gonna change my bet. You know, if he believes in this company, then I do too. I'm just
Right.
gonna throw all of my T-birds and Firebirds out the window. That would be,
I
I
mean,
want to meet
let's.
the people that do that. That
Well,
would
right. And
be
let's be clear, like,
very funny.
Paul Macbeth can do that. He is what the 1% of disc golfers. He could go out there and throw paper plates manufactured by Dixie on a sponsorship and probably beat almost everybody.
That would be
But,
a great
like,
video.
that would be great. Maybe we can get him to do that. We'll have him announce his big new sponsorship move. But not everybody can do that. Like, me, the you know, more recreational level player. Like, if I'm gonna go switch my entire bag to somewhere because Paul Macbeth did it, I'm probably gonna have a lot more of a learning curve than he is. That said, I still think there is going to be somewhat of a learning curve. There generally is with players when they change over. But I mean, I don't expect that like Pomp is going to go out and at the beginning of the season and tank because he doesn't know his discs.
Well,
And go ahead.
so on the other side of it, talking about it being a business decision for Paul and Hannah, it's a business decision for whatever company picks him up. Like, Paul McBeth is not only a player, he's a brand. His face has been, like you said, has been all over Innova products for years. I just picked up one of those new Discover, like, minimalist bags, and lo and behold, there's a tag and Paul McBeth is on it.
Yeah,
So, you
you
know.
walk into Dick's Sporting Goods and the display on the Innova section has got Paul McBeth all over it. So there's gonna have to be some rebranding implications there for sure.
For sure, yeah, on Innova side. But whoever picks him up, I mean, they're not just getting one of the best players in the world. They're getting one of the most well-known disc golfers in the world, like not only in our sport, but also to the outward-facing world who doesn't know what disc golf is.
Well,
He
and
has.
that's the other interesting part of it is like something like this, I think too, it'll be interesting to see how much product Macbeth helps move for whatever company picks him up. And like because I've always made the argument that like you could go out to your local disc golf course and ask 100 players who Paul McBeth was, and maybe only 10 of them would know.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think we're still probably at that point, but it'll be interesting to see if this kind of proves differently, if there ends up being a greater impact in that way. I mean, more and more lately at my local course, I'm seeing people using UDisc to track their stats. I'm hearing people talking about what they've seen on Jomez and things like that. So it is kind of growing more steadily. And then also from the business side, Sarah, like besides just rebranding and stuff, I also tend to be on the side of like when I do follow other sports, I tend to be on the side of players being able to maximize their value based on their talent. Because realistically, let's think about it here. Innova, in this case, is like in disc golf, it's weird because yes, Innova is a sponsor, but like everyone views these manufacturers as teams. So like the analog for me is to a football team, like Innova would be the Dallas Cowboys. You know what? And like Paul McBeth in this case is someone like Dak Prescott or, Ezekiel Elliott or someone like that, a star player. And star
Okay,
players, a lot of
who would
times,
I be?
let's think here.
I'm just
Not
kidding.
really like Cole Beasley. No, I'm just, I'll, anyway.
Didn't recognize either one of those names.
Right. No, but I mean, in that regard, like there are always tensions in like the NFL and the NBA and stuff about that, like where certain players will move to another team because they got a better contract and they
That
got
makes
more money
sense.
and more financial security out of that. And there's always kind of a segment of the population who says, "Oh man, that person, they're not loyal to their team. They went there and they sold out." Or there's the segment of the population that says, well, yeah, that player is talented and they should be able to take advantage of a small window of an athletic career and maximize that value. And I tend to fall on that side, so I don't really have a problem if Macbeth is going to somewhere where he can get what he deems to be a better sponsorship or a better deal. There's risks for both sides. There's risk for Macbeth, there's risk for Innova, there's risk for whoever picks up Macbeth. I'm just intrigued to see how it all pans out. So that's obviously going to be one of the big things that people are tracking this off season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sponsored by Innova and I agree with you. And I don't know how other Innova sponsored players feel. They may have the same thing that you said about him not being loyal and leaving a team and a company that has supported him. But I mean, I would not be surprised if it was a completely what's the word? Like both sides were just, completely okay and receptive and professional
Oh yeah.
about the decision.
I haven't heard anything otherwise. Like everything that I've heard is that this is totally amicable. So this isn't I don't yeah, I mean people can read into things anything they want to. I mean you can look at everything in life and there will always be someone with some thought or conspiracy that things were like nefariously done, but I haven't gotten any impression
Yes.
that this is the case with that.
Yeah.
So I think whatever happens, it's certainly going to be intriguing, and I'm sure there will be more craziness on the internet and all the memes and everything. I
All right,
do want to
well, if
talk.
we're
Yeah. Oh
we
yeah.
should take bets on what company's picking him up. I'm going Whammo.
Whammo. Oh man,
Yeah.
I was gonna. I actually thought it was gonna be like Aerobee,
Oh, that would be a good one. Yeah.
makers of the Epic, and the
Yeah, that's
Aero,
good. That's
and the
a
Squidgy.
those are super solid
I want to
discs.
see Paul Macbeth throw a Squidgy.
I
I don't think that's PDGA
don't
approved.
even know what that disc
It's
is.
like soup. It's
It
small
sounds like
and
a sponge.
it's super floppy. You can like fold it up
Okay.
and put it in your back pocket. It's
Okay,
great.
because the name sounds like the noise a sponge makes.
Yeah, I could give you that. No, they're super fun. Like they're fun to play with kids, because like a lot of times I'll play catch like with a regular frisbee with my daughter, and like if she
Yeah.
misses, those they hurt.
I know.
A squidgy does not hurt, so it's fun.
Okay.
Another move we should talk about that was announced, and I don't want to gloss over this one because I think this one actually is just as important as the Macbeth departure. It was that Discmania announced a 5-year extension with Simon Lizotte.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty significant move because to me, this is another one of those things that kind of puts disc golf on that level with other professional sports. Like a 5-year extension is something a Major League Baseball player would do with a team. And we didn't get to the point, we don't know the value of said extension. But I've always really appreciated Discmania's perspective on these things. They run their combine events where they try and like recruit new players, which is kind of an NFL type thing. They, are willing to publicize the amount of time that they sign players. And things like that are just they take those kind of steps that are more in line with the big professional sports. And I think it's a really strong move for disc golf in general for more companies to start acting that way. And it just makes smart business sense from both sides, I think, for
Yeah.
to have a talent like Simon Lizotte on your roster still.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been the face of Discmania for the past couple of years now, and it gives him some stability and consistency for the next 5 years. I mean, you never I and I wonder how that kind of thing goes. I was talking about this with a friend, is like, well, what if he breaks his leg next year and can't? Hopefully this doesn't happen. I'm not
Well, I mean,
wishing
he had a
bad
knee
vibes on Simon.
injury. He was out
I
for
know,
almost
I
the whole
know.
season.
Yeah, but so what happens if that happens again, or he has some other injury where he can't play ever again? Like, are they bound into a contract? I mean, this is just, we don't know,
Yeah, I don't
but
know. And that's one of
so.
those things that again, we're not at the point in the sport where we are privy to those things a lot of times.
Yeah.
We could probably speculate, but I don't really want to do that. But I would say, I mean, like, I think the big thing here, though, and if you read on the Discmania website, it talks about how, they have a relationship that they've built, Simon and UC Maresma. So I would hope that this would be the kind of situation where if Simon did get hurt or something like that, that they would take care of him. I mean, it literally says in giant bold letters, more than a contract, it's a relationship. So when you put
Yeah.
something like that out there, it says to me that, hey, like, all right, so Simon gets hurt and maybe he's not as marketable for a season. I would still think that they would take care of him. And even, Simon, regardless, like I remember when he did get hurt and was out for half a season, he was still marketable and people were still super pumped to see what would happen when he came back to the sport. So,
Well, that, and he can do trick shots even if he had like
oh
one
yeah,
finger
Simon
left.
Lizotte in a on crutches doing he would probably make the craziest shots. So,
Yeah.
I just think it's another good thing toward making disc golf this more legitimate professional sport when we have players like this and contracts like this. Now, the one thing that I always am interested to see people talking about online is like, oh well, like what if this company is paying this player a bunch more money and like that's gonna upset the other players on the team.
That happens all the
That
time. That's
happens
what.
in every sport and every company.
Yeah.
So I don't
Duh.
know. It's
That happens in
strife.
every job. Like, I don't get paid the same as my coworkers.
Right.
It depends on your experience, your skill level, how well you can negotiate,
How marketable you are.
all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I don't get the same sponsorship level as Paul Macbeth did, and I ain't mad at it.
See, that's because you're mature.
Realistic. Okay.
Realistic.
I'll take either one of those things. But you
There
know,
you go.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's I've never heard anyone bring that up before. Like, oh, well, you can't pay one player more than the other. Like, that's the prerogative of any company.
Well, and I think sometimes that's why companies don't publicize the contract details because they feel like they're gonna like alienate another person on the team, which I get. And like you for that reason, like you don't like I don't know the salaries of my coworkers at the PDGA, and you probably don't know the salaries of your coworkers. People will talk internally about those things, but like in
Yeah.
sports, it's almost like the other difference there is in bigger sports, like there are reporters, like multiple reporters covering the sport who have insider information and get connections with people, and that's how kind of contract things get out. And like
Oh,
we
okay.
don't really have that in disc golf. Like we have a couple, but nothing huge.
I mean, you could buddy up to some people. I don't want to because I
Well, I
have to
mean, I
play
know
with these people.
plenty. I
So,
mean, it's just a matter
yeah.
of like whose place it is.
Respect and respect for them and.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So, it's but either way, I think it's a good and exciting time to be in the sport with all these moves, and we will try and check in on more of them as they happen, because this Macbeth thing is not going to be the only move. Simon signing to Discmania is not going to be the only move. I think this is probably going to be one of the more active player move off seasons
Yeah.
in
This was
recent
also kind of an early announcement too, because I guess things
Right.
started leaking out about Paul kind of like a few weeks ago. I started seeing some stuff, and maybe they
Yeah.
just thought it was time to let the cat out of the bag.
Well, I
But
think it makes sense. Like, instead of just
yeah.
letting things run rampant, just put it to bed and move on.
Yeah. But some
Which
of the, I
is
will say, the last thing I'll say is that the memes that came out of this were pretty spectacular.
I clearly don't pay enough attention to the internet because like the speed with which people were creating these memes,
I
I was like, how do you guys know all these memes and when to apply them properly? Like, I'm not interneting well, apparently. So
Yeah.
that was entertaining. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a break, and Robert Leonard, our rules expert, is going to kind of give us a little season recap of what we learned on the rules break, and then we're gonna come back and do a little bit of our own season recap with some awards that we are going to give out for the best of 2018. So, Sarah and I will be back here in just a moment on PGA Radio.
Hi, this is Robert Leonard, PDGA Marshal and Tournament Director for the 2018 PDGA Amateur World Disc Golf Championships driven by Innova, and this is the PDGA Radio Rules Break. As the theme of the episode has been the best of 2018, I thought it'd be interesting to review what we've really learned this year about rules and how they've been applied throughout this segment. There were many interesting topics that we have discussed in this segment as the year has progressed. In Waco, we learned that a player should not place their foot in line with the mando unless they're on the incorrect side of that mando. The Glasspalin Open taught us that the real definition of benefit of the doubt was it's used as a tiebreaker, not a way out of a majority decision. The Utah Open taught us that if a misplay is caught even after the round, even the next day of the event, that a misplay penalty can and should be added on to that player's score. The Hall of Fame Classic reminding us that hitting your own bag is a penalty, and the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship clarified that a provisional isn't used to make a call, rather dispute one. The one common thing I've seen with all these scenarios is players simply not knowing the rules and not having the resources available to them when something goofy kind of happens. It's okay not to know the rules. I don't know them up and down, and I'll admit many of the scenarios I've discussed throughout the year, I didn't know the answer before I recorded my segment, but that's kind of the point. I looked them up and I was able to apply them to the situation. The one thing that always blows me away when I read about incorrectly interpreted rules, like the Waco Mando situation, incorrectly applied rules, like the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship provisional situation, and rules clearly being violated and not even mentioned, like the Hall of Fame Classic situation, is just how many people don't even have enough knowledge of the rules to even understand when something doesn't feel quite right. If there's one piece of advice I'd offer our listeners is that so many rules actually help you. 806.02E says you can move the disc away from out of bounds up to a meter. 809.01A says, I can go back to my previous lie with a one-throw penalty whenever I want. 806.03B says, I don't have to stand in casual water if I don't want to. 803.02 says, I can get relief from harmful insects, animals, and even large solid structures. Yet the rules are still misunderstood and still seen as something that people don't want to try to learn. I remember the first time I ever had a tricky rules situation as a tournament director. A player was given 2 foot faults in a round, and at the time, players were forced to rethrow after a foot fault. The person, despite having the foot faults called, did not follow that rule and did not throw the extra shot. I asked the group if they had consulted the rules book when calling it a foot fault, and to my amazement, none of them had a rule book. Here we are 9 years later, and we're in the same boat. Players still don't carry rule books. It's still considered taboo. And even crazier, the rules are accessible on any cell phone with internet access for free with just a simple touch of your hand. Let's hope that my segment on rules in 2019 is simply not needed. Once again, this has been the PDJ Radio Rules Break, and Robert Leonard reminding you, as always, rules are your friend.
Welcome back to the show. In that whole player news thing, my goodness, the Reddit rumor mill is churning again. There's a little speculation now about Ricky Wysocki going somewhere new. I don't know. I don't have any information on that. I think maybe people are just stoking
reading into it.
Think people are bored. Maybe people are bored.
Or someone's just trolling it. And
it could be too.
Hoping to throw people off.
Anyway, good times.
Can I clear something up on Reddit that I heard about myself this past weekend?
You heard something on Reddit about yourself?
Yes. So a few months ago, I got an ace at a private course. We might have talked about this. And I get the ace. I'm all happy, whatever. I go back to Tournament Central, and the property owner, who I know personally, is like, oh my God, you're the first female who's gotten an ace on our course. Did you go sign the basket? And I said, no. I haven't done that either.
Oh, the signing the basket thing.
Yes.
You're not supposed to do that, Sarah Lamerson.
Are you kidding me? So the tournament director forced me to jump into his car, drove me back to the back side of the course, and sign the basket and take a picture of it. And I posted it to the social medias. And I got lambasted. And I said...
Lambasted. Yeah. No, I do recall that. And I remember seeing that... you know, private course, if the TD wants you to do that, I would say it's probably okay.
He pretty much like forced me to do it. So yeah. Whatever. So I post it. Everyone's like going off on me.
Yeah.
And so I edit the post and say, disclaimer, this is what happened, blah, 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 blah. Well, I meet this girl who was down here playing from Ohio this past weekend. She's like, oh, you're that girl who signed the basket. And I said, what are you talking about? She says she saw it on Reddit that people were like blowing up about it. How could I sign a basket?
No such thing as bad publicity, Sarah.
Oh my gosh. I could not believe it. And the funny thing is, I was wearing a wrist brace and nobody even asked or cared about my injury.
You probably hurt your wrist signing the basket.
Exactly. So I just want to clear that up, everybody. Private course, totally legit. Sorry.
Sarah Lamerson.
I had to clear that up. I was very upset about it.
Basket vandal. all right, moving on. We have some hot rounds to get to from over the weekend, and then we're going to get into our best of 2018 as we ramble our way through the show today. So, Sarah, hot rounds from the women's division over the last weekend.
Yeah, really hot rounds. So we see Jennifer Allen back on the scene. She just moved to Phoenix area and has since gotten her daughter.
Smashing it.
I know. And she just got her daughter, Michaela, to start playing too. She played in the intermediate division. I have to check and see how she finished. But anyway, Jennifer Allen shot a 996 rated first round at the 13th annual Phoenix Ladies Open.
This is after she shot like, and we missed this in our week off. Like she shot like way over 1,000 a couple weeks ago.
Did she?
Oh, I don't remember I'm going to look it up while you go through the rest of the rounds because I don't remember the exact tournament.
Okay. So they played 2 rounds at Vista del Camino. She shot 21 under par and beat Zoe Andek by 11 strokes. So she shot 996, 975. Wow. Very, very impressive.
It's not bad.
Yeah. really, really good.
Let me think. Where was this one? Was it the Arizona State Disc Golf Championships? Let me see. She shot
Shelly Sharp.
Yeah, she shot a 1062.
Oh my gosh.
That might be the highest women's round ever. I have to double check. at the Arizona helps. State Disc Golf Championships. This was beginning of October. This was USDGC weekend.
Does it say what course you played?
This was at the Four Seasons Disc Golf Course, which sounds pretty fancy if you ask me.
Yes.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That was where the men were playing round two. Women in round two were playing at Ironside Bluffs. Par 55. It
doesn't sound as fancy, but
she shot a 50.
Wow.
I don't know. Have to look it
really
up.
Good.
I wonder if that's official. I don't think that's official, but we'll have to see.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations. That's amazing.
Dude, she's a stud. Back to this week's hot round. Sorry for the
diversion. The second hottest round was shot by another Allen. Katrina Allen shot a 986 rated round at the fifth annual Buffalo Run presented by Native Disc Golf during her first round, and she took first. Callie McMorrin, she is a young, I think she's like 21, up and comer. She was touring around a little bit this year with Jay Ray from Dynamic Discs. She's really cool. I got to meet her a couple weeks ago when she was in town for an event. And she got on the hot rounds with a 959 rated first round to finish first at the 17th annual Lee Nakin. I don't know how you say that. We'll go with that. Memorial.
Yeah, that
event.
Sounds right.
Yeah, and I believe that was in Memphis area. Yep, Memphis, Tennessee. So congratulations. That's and I saw on her Facebook post that that's her last event of the year. So great way to end the season. Our fourth hottest round was from Lisa Fakus, and she shot a 956, her second round, to take second in the fifth annual Buffalo Run. And then the last hottest round of the week is Elaine King, shot a 955 at the 21st annual Pro Fall Colors. And she finished first, and that was her fourth round, and that was in Williamsburg, Virginia.
That the Fall Colors, I know they had some video from that one last year. I don't know if they're going to have it this year, but if you can find it, go check out that course. It was at a couple courses this year, but the final round was at New Quarter Park in Williamsburg. And if you haven't played it and you're ever in the area, please go play it. Super fun course. Very kind of – I went there at like 7 in the morning when the sun wasn't really too high yet and just – kind of spooky vibes to it. It's pretty fun.
I like it.
In that same tournament is where we had the hottest round on the men's side, and that came from Zach Melton. He shot a 1073 rated second round, and he took the win there, so congratulations to Zach. Back over at the Buffalo Run tournament, Bo Tillman shot a 1067 rated third round, and he took second place. Nick Wood, up in the Washington State Championships, shot a 1062 rated first round to win that one. Congrats to Nick. Dutch Napier shot a 1061 rated second round and took second place at the 14th annual Pumpkin Shootout presented by Bustler Disc Golf and driven by Innovadiscs. And a few people clocking in with 1058s, Joel Freeman, Chris Dickerson, and Steven Schroeder round out our top five. So good deal with the hot rounds. And let's go from hot rounds into Sarah and I's super official, unofficial awards. We're going to let's just call these the PDGA Radio Awards, because these are not like the official PDGA Awards. These are not, you know, what are going to come out with Player of the Year and different points, things like that. These are just us being talking heads giving awards.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I like that.
We've gone serious for a couple of them. We've gone a little more loose and enjoyable for a couple. So drum roll, we don't have any fancy sound effects. Maybe I can put some of those in post. Which one should we go with first, Sarah?
Let's go with Breakout of the Year.
Breakout Player of the Year?
Yeah.
All right. On the women's side, who, but now on some of these, I will also say we were like unanimous on some of them, and on some of them we differed, so we're just going to each pick one because we like to highlight more people. But Breakout Player of the Year on the women's side, we both picked who?
Paige Bjerkus. This should not come as a super surprise, but many of us have known Paige over the past few years. We've seen her name pop up here and there, but she has not been full-time touring, and this year she decided to do that, and now everybody knows her name. So, yeah. Congrats, Paige.
Congrats, Paige Bjerkus. She rocks, and she's, I mean, she pretty much became a household name. You in Worlds, you become a household name.
Yep.
Yeah, and there are some of these players, like, you guys can argue with us, by the way. Feel free to hit us up in whatever comment section you see or rag on us on Twitter or whatever you want to do, radio@pdj.com. Because there are some of these players, you can make the case that everybody knew Paige Bierkus beforehand. But we disagree with you. On the men's side,
I love to argue, so bring it on.
Yeah, right. Bring on the arguments. On the men's side, we kind of had, like, this one was tough. So yeah, we kind of went back and forth between Kevin Jones and Calvin Heimberg. My case against Kevin Jones was that he already had his breakout performance last year at USDGC that kind of put him on the map. Sarah, you kind of thought that was too late in the year, maybe,
yeah,
to be qualified.
Yeah, I guess I have a different, because you went to USDGC last year, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I feel like you, I don't know, because you got to see him in person and he had such a great performance. I think I was a little bit more removed from it. And so I kind of, like, he got put into my consciousness after USDGC and I was like, okay, that's a good disc golfer.
So maybe that's someone to keep an eye out for, not necessarily.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll give you that.
And then, this year I was like, whoa, that just wasn't, you know, he wasn't just a one hit wonder. He can actually stay consistent and play really well. So I feel like that's where I was coming from. Calvin Heimberg, on the other hand, I have crossed paths with him several times over the years.
Right.
So I kind of already knew.
All right.
Him.
See, so we're like kind of diverging on that. Like my yeah. player was Calvin Heimberg because I had heard his name, but like actually got to see him this year and he blasted off like a hot round at Worlds and some other late in the year events. And he's super talented and someone mm-hmm. I think to keep an eye out for in the future, which is how I felt about Kevin Jones last year. So
yeah.
Again, this is one of those ones that kind of comes down to your mileage may vary on the definitions. But either way, we'll just let Kevin Jones and Calvin Heimberg arm wrestle for the Breakout Player of the Year title on the NPO side. Pretty good. All right, let's go with this one. Let's just get straight into it. Player of the Year.
All right.
We're going with the hardcore one.
Let's
wait. Let's wait.
Okay,
let's wait.
I thought we could do that one last.
We'll do that last. Okay, fine. Right. Fine. Then okay, we'll do another. Should we do a lighter one?
Yeah.
We'll do a lighter
player,
one.
Okay, who would you want to be on a card with?
Oh, yeah. So this one, Sarah and I had a little discussion off air about this one. This is not a fanboy or fangirl type of category where it's like, oh my gosh, that's my favorite player and I want to play on a card with him. This is more of like the good vibes. Who you would want to be on a card with just to purely enjoy the round. So we each just picked one MPO and FPO on this one. I went with Peter McBride. Every time I've followed Peter McBride on the course, he has been nothing but positive, just super enjoyable to get along with and play around with. So I would want to be on a card with Peter McBride. Who would you want to be on a card with, Sarah?
Well, I've been on plenty of cards with this person, and I really, really enjoy playing with her, and that would be Haley Childs. She's, I don't know, we get along, and we can both challenge each other back and forth, both playing and verbally. and she's just really chill. She's just really fun to play with, and I don't get to see her enough since I've moved far away from her, but shout out, Haley, if you're listening. Let's play around together soon.
Very nice. All right. Best follow on social media. Your pick, Sarah.
Maybe this is like a frequency thing too, but Madison Walker, she posts a lot of stories and they're usually pretty entertaining. She uses a lot of those little stickers. She posts a lot of mushroom pictures, but it's like little
weird nature pictures.
Yeah. And I like nature, so I'm into that. And she posts a lot of like little dancing characters, and it seems like she takes a lot of time to cultivate her Instagram presence. So I appreciate that.
And for
what
those
about
people
you?
who don't follow her, she is at Old Mad and the C.
Oh yes,
like Old
yes,
Man
yes.
and C, just Old Mad. My top social media follow is not necessarily for their posts. Actually, on the post side of things, this person is a little bit, they're just pretty, you know, low key and just kind of normal. Like, there's foliage posts and basket photos and stuff. But if you follow this person, you follow this person for their comments on other people's posts, which are just, this guy just loves to savage people in the most fun way possible. It's always lighthearted and good-natured, and you know that because you can just tell. But it's always entertaining. So my top social media follow is Zach Melton because he is always mixing it up in someone's comments in a very entertaining fashion.
Yeah, he's like the ultimate troll in the best sense possible.
Right, yeah, in a good way.
Not like an annoying way.
Yeah, in a good, fun way. Like, he's always poking at people a little bit in a good-natured fashion. He is ZMelton38631 on Instagram, and then you can find him on Facebook at Zach Melton and all that stuff. All right, let's move to... All right, we'll keep going with some of the lighter ones, and then we'll get into the heavy hitters. Most fashionable player, go.
Nico, definitely. that getup that he wore at Worlds, it was like, was it a tiger? It was like an African-looking shirt with a tiger on it, and then like crazy cheetah print pants.
I will give and Nico that he is the most courageous
yes.
in the fashion department.
But so that was like pretty, that was very colorful and loud, but he also has times where he's got like a different hairstyle and he just looks like super hip on the disc golf course. Super and it's not hip. Like he's, yeah, he's not just wearing, I sound like such an old lady just then, but you know what I mean? Like, he's not just simply wearing like athletic clothes. Like, when I play disc golf, I wear like athletic clothes. I don't normally think about matching.
Yeah. He's not afraid to peacock it out a little bit, which I think is good. We need a little bit more of that. And like, he takes some hate on it on social media, but I think it's great. I think it's fun when he does that kind of stuff. So I'm going to withdraw my most fashionable player, and I'm going to side with you with Nico.
Okay.
We will give a runner-up shout-out, though, to Drew Gibson. He was going to be on there for his very... I mean, dude, white pants on the disc golf course.
Yeah.
Is a bold statement.
It's very bold. And his hair is always, like, very freshly cut. And he just... Yeah. Doesn't he model or something?
I believe he... I had heard, and I don't know, we should probably ask Drew. We need to have Drew on the show because he's a good interview. Maybe we'll do that over the off season. I had been told that he modeled as a youth. I don't know if that's 100%. So we will table that question for after.
Okay.
Fun fact, Drew Gibson and I have the same birthday, obviously.
Oh, nice.
Off by a lot of years, but, that was kind of cool.
Like 20. Just kidding.
Maybe not that. I don't know how old Drew is though.
I don't either.
He's still pretty young. All right. Women's most fashionable player. You chose who?
The first person that came to mind for me was Kristin Tatar. And yes, I can finally say her name correctly without stumbling. She just dresses like in a very sleek way. She's always buttoned up, like literally. I don't know if it's a European thing, but she and Vanessa Van Dyke, and I'm noticing a couple of the other girls doing it now too. If they wear polo shirts, like button up polo shirts. Yeah, they go all the way to the top. And at first I thought it looked a little silly. And now I'm like, am I doing it wrong?
You're going to do it, huh?
I don't know if I'm going to break that out, but she's just like, the whole look just looks very sleek and professional.
You come to PDJ Radio for, like, there's no one else in disc golf talking fashion.
Exactly.
And honestly, I know it sounds silly, but like, there's a whole segment on like the PGA Tour website about fashion, fashion and stuff. There totally is. Yeah.
Who's your pick for women?
I would have gone in the similar vein, Katrina Allen. She always looks just very professionally dressed. Like, she looks like a golfer to me. She looks like a pro golfer.
Yeah. I think both of them probably buy a lot of stuff from golf
websites. A lot more players are doing that now, though, which is pretty cool. Yeah. It makes it just gives everyone a professional look on the whole. I think it's great.
Yeah.
We probably could have put Kristin Tatar in the running for breakout player as well.
That's true. Yeah.
So she can be runner up there. All right, let's get into the real. Oh no, we have one more like kind of off the beaten path one before we get into the real ones. So Sarah, this was when you brought up most modest player, like player who you can kind of talk to in an interview. They're not really going to pump themselves up too much, or they're going to be really self-deprecating and just kind of like, you know, don't really want to pump themselves up too much. So who you got?
I said Chris Dickerson. When we interviewed him and just talking to him face to face, like, he just, like, I think that's why he flies under the radar so much. He doesn't care about publicity,
right,
or promoting himself or anything like that. He's like, yeah, I'm good at disc golf and that's what I do.
Yeah, and I think it is interesting, so though. Straightforward. Like, there is some more stuff out from him now. I've seen over the last couple weeks. And that's another thing. Gosh, we didn't hit on that, and I apologize, on the earlier player news segments. He confirmed on Smashbox the other week that he's sticking with Prodigy. He signed, a 2-year extension with them. And okay. So now I've seen a couple videos now. Prodigy's got, like, an in the bag with him. They just put out, like, a Q&A video with him. So we'll be hearing more from Chris Dickerson, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. And then who did you think for the women's side? Yeah.
I let you pick both of these, which I'm totally fine with. So go for it.
Okay. Well, we kind of agreed on this anyway, but Paige Bjorkis, she's just so, I want to say innocent, but that's...
She's very humble.
Yeah. She's just like a sweet girl. She's great.
She's
a great face for our sport.
She is. And, you know, she's like, when you fall under the category of like when I said self-deprecating, I kind of think about her. Like, she will, you know, she'll kind of like make fun of herself or talk about things that she kind of messed up on in a jovial kind of fashion, and not necessarily, obviously she gets down on herself about things, but she doesn't seem to like get really, really down on herself. Like, she just has a generally kind of a positive outlook, which is nice.
Yeah. She's able to take things lightly and just kind of move on from the negative things pretty quickly, it seems like.
Yes.
So,
All right. I'm adding one to the list here, and this is where we're going. We kind of talked about this one, Sarah, but we didn't really come up with an MPO side one, so we're going to have to think on our feet here. Most underrated player. And by that, I mean not underrated by their literal PDJ player rating. I mean in terms of, like, who people talk about, outward profile, like someone who maybe should get more credit for how good they are, but doesn't necessarily. Do you remember who we talked about for the FPO side? Because I can go off on that one while we think of an MPO one, if you'd like.
Yes, you can go off on that one.
All right. I think that Sarah Hokum is the most underrated player on the women's side. And I say that because she's always up there and competing. She always performs well, but she just kind of chips away at everything. We're not talking about her as much on, like, social media or, you know, doing anything big with, like, sponsors and stuff like that. She does everything in a very, like, I want to say, like, blue collar type fashion. Like, she's just grinding it out on the road and getting the job done. And I don't think that people really give her enough credit for how good and how competitive she is on a week in, week out basis.
Yeah, I guess she's not very flashy as far as posting and promoting herself.
Well, and even shot-wise, I mean, she throws her forehand shots, but she's not parking shots all the time. She'll make an occasional long putt, but it's not like she's doing big jump putts like Paige Pierce or, you know, throwing down these big crazy rollers like Katrina Allen and things like that. It's just she's a little more just like station to station, but she's just really good at that.
Yeah, she's very consistent. Yeah. I also feel like it might have something to do with her sponsor. Maybe because she's not sponsored by she's sponsored by Legacy, which is not one of the biggest companies that you hear about out there. And so maybe the marketing is not as player forward.
Yeah, I mean, that could be. I think a lot of players are just more, a lot of players promote themselves more now too. And she just doesn't do that quite as much.
Yeah. I could see that.
But she's always very gracious to the media. So maybe she just, like, ingrained herself into this position, into this award by being gracious to the media. And I subconsciously internalized that.
Well, I don't underrate her because I have played with her and I think I've called her a surgeon in the woods. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It just amazes me. I also think because Val Jenkins is not very much on the scene right now, that since she's kind of stepped aside, that's kind of left a gap in the top women's field. And so it's kind of like parted ways for some other people, or given opportunity for other people to kind of step into the limelight.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
All right. Men's side, most underrated. We didn't really agree on one beforehand. And I'm looking at player lists. And honestly, I think I've got one.
Okay.
But I mean, it could go, there's a lot of men's players who could be considered underrated, I think. My pick, this is my personal pick. I don't know if you agree with it. My pick is Paul Ulberry.
I was thinking
He
about
is
that.
one of those guys. I mean, he's rated 1030, so he's not underrated per se, but from a like again, he doesn't do a lot of stuff that's flashy. Maybe it's just a style thing with some of these players, but he can, I mean, he's one of the best pure throwers, but he's not like on film canning eagles all the time. And he's
Yeah.
he's just a very like low key professional player, but he is always he's a freaking road warrior. He plays probably more than anybody. How many events did he play this year? He played 38 events this year, which is just nuts.
Yeah.
He's generally up there competing. He took a little bit of time off this year from some injuries and things like that, but it never surprises me. I think the way I look about like this is this. It never surprises me when Paul Ulibarri ends up in the top three or the top five, but I'm not thinking about him finishing in the top three or the top five before an event. So to me, that kind of means he's underrated.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so
So that's
difficult
my
to
pick.
pick one. I mean, I guess I wouldn't have called Paul Ulibarri underrated because he's been around. He's kind of been a household name for a while, I think. Maybe I'd go like Cameron Kohlglaser. My
Yeah.
mouse just landed on him. And, but I was thinking, well, so the other person I was thinking about was AJ Risley, but he's not really underrated because like, a lot of people know him and he
I
does a
think
lot
he
of
had, yeah, I think a lot
info
of
with
he got
dynamic
into the
discs and stuff.
consciousness a lot more this year.
Yeah. Okay. Honestly, my mouse just landed on Cameron Kohlglaser from the world rankings. And I was like, yeah, he's 1029
Well,
rated.
and he's not touring as much anymore. He's 1031 on my list here.
Yes. Oh, I'm looking at the world rankings, which might be a little
More current, he is 1031.
outdated. Okay. And how many events did he play?
This year he played 23
Played
events, but
23.
most of those were, regional stuff. He's
Yeah.
not, he hasn't been out on tour quite as much the last few years. But yeah, I mean,
Okay, well, thinking about
ninth at
him
Pro
then,
Worlds.
I mean, Matt Orme is kind of in the same realm.
A lot of those
Like,
Southern guys.
yeah, like not a lot of, he's really good and one of the top players in the world, ratings wise, but not, I wouldn't call him a household name. But
Yeah.
he could have
We
won
could.
Worlds.
Yeah. We probably could have a few underrated men's players.
There's a
So how about
bunch.
this?
I can't. I'm. You know me.
I want to hear from the listeners. Radio@pdj.com. Give us your most underrated men's player, and we will share them on the next show because we got to move on. Shot of the year. I'm going to count down the top three shots of the year. I chose these ones because I was at the events a little more than Sarah was, and these are the ones that just stuck out to me for the whole season. Number three. And I forget the. I should have looked up the hole. I'm terrible. Final round, Las Vegas Challenge, Paige Pierce. I want to say hole 14 or 15, where she throws this huge flexing 450-foot park shot and essentially catapulted her to the win. It was like combined with the line that she took and the moment where she needed a big shot like that. She had come off a couple rough holes. That one just stuck out in my mind for the whole season as one of the top shots of the year. Number two, Eagle McMahon to the island, final round, glass blown open, looks at Simon Lazat, says, "Here you go, Simon." Goes up and over with a huge hyzer, pins it to the island, and takes the win that way. Super dramatic. He hadn't played that line the entire tournament and was just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do it." It was awesome. And then my number one shot of the year, and this may be more recency bias, but I don't think it is because it was amazing and I could go back and watch this shot all day long. Jonny McRae's turbo putt from 60 feet for Eagle at the Hall of Fame Classic in the final round.
That was
That was
ridiculous.
the best thing I saw this whole season in person. It was amazing. So, Jonny McRae, congratulations. You get the PDGA Radio shot of the year.
There you go.
It was awesome.
It's official. You will
All
not
right.
be getting a prize in the mail. I'm sorry.
No. Maybe we'll tag you on social media. All right.
Surprise of the
I think
year.
we should I think we should just wrap it up. I think we should
All
wrap it up.
right.
I think surprise of the year, I think we talked about we'll gloss over it quickly. Worlds in general was very surprising
Yeah,
with
agreed.
both Paige Bierkus and Greg Barsby getting their first victories. I think that surprised a lot of people, us included. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right, now we have Player of the Year. I see on our notes here that we have to be determined on the women's side.
Yeah.
Which means we didn't really agree on anyone yet. And I think that shows just the level of competition in the women's division and how it's improving. It's not quite as much just like one person running away with things. But for my money, for half of the year, one person was running away with things. And so I'm inclined to lean Paige Pierce for Player of the Year, but I'm willing to be persuaded otherwise, Sarah.
I wouldn't argue with that. I think I was trying to go back and forth between her and other Paige just because, but it was kind of the other half of the year because Paige Bjorkis got on the scene after she got out of school for the year. So what, that would have been like July.
Yeah.
So maybe that was the other half of the year, but I don't know. I feel like before and after World, she was just dominating. And the discussion started going from page P to page B, and that was exciting.
Yeah, so, I lean Paige Pierce. I mean, I know she didn't win Worlds, but she was like undefeated until May or June.
Yeah.
She won U.S. Women's. She was in contention pretty much at everything down the stretch. She, you know, she won the national tour points. Didn't win the Pro Tour, I know that, but I mean, I think you can make an argument either way.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, and then Player of the Year of the on the men's side. This one might be more controversial, but Sarah and I did agree on this one.
Yeah.
It might not be what everyone thinks, but we both went with young Eagle McMahon. And I think it was a matter of him just coming out and setting the world on fire early in the year. He got those three national tour wins with Vegas and the GBO and Beaver State. He won the national tour points. He was generally always in contention. He won the Kanapiste Open. Yes, he didn't do quite as well at Worlds as probably people would have expected him to. I think you could obviously make an argument for Paul McBeth. He had a tremendous season as well, finished super hot. But Sarah and I both just went with Eagle.
Yeah, I think for Eagle, too, he had the most expectation around him. Like, people really wanted
after
him.
After the beginning of the year, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. Like, people really wanted him to win Worlds, and they were expecting a lot from him since he really delivered in the beginning part of the year. So he was just in everyone's consciousness, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. And so we will say congratulations to Eagle McMahon. PGA Radio, Player of the Year. All right. And with that, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to Jacob Bird. He's running a tournament called the Campership Classic. It's going to take place in North Carolina. It's a charity event. And we're going to hear a little bit about that, and then we will wrap up the show. So we'll be back here in just a couple minutes on PDJ Radio. Admittedly, it is not all the time that we talk about C-tiers here on PDGA Radio, but this is kind of a special one we're going to talk about today. So I'm joined now by Jacob Bird. He is the Camp Program Director at Victory Junction, just outside Greensboro, North Carolina, which is going to be hosting on November 18th, the third annual Campership Classic. Jacob, thank you for taking some time to come on PDGA Radio.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
So, you know, this is a charity event going into its third inception, but, you know, just for a little background, tell people what Victory Junction is and what its mission is there at the camp.
All right. So Victory Junction, we're a residential camp for children with chronic illnesses and serious medical conditions. And for those folks, maybe around the North Carolina area and nationally known, the camp was founded by the Petty family. So Richard Petty, who's basically the king of NASCAR, legendary race car driver there. This is the camp that's affiliated with his family. So the Petty family built Victory Junction. We opened up in 2004. And so we have kind of our bread and butter is the summer residential program, but we also do family weekends on the fall and spring. And basically we serve campers again with chronic illnesses and serious medical conditions, and they're able to come to Victory Junction absolutely free of charge. And we give them those life-changing camp experiences that they may or may not be able to kind of normally be able to go to, because we have the accommodations and we have the medical staff to take care of anything that may arise while they're here.
Well, that's fantastic. It sounds like a wonderful organization. My question is then how did you come about to do a disc golf tournament there? What did how did that come to pass?
Great question. So a number of years ago, I mean, I love disc golf. I play it as frequently as I can. I mean, it's, you know, with most people in the sport, you know, we kind of started playing it one day and we got hooked. And so I was trying to find some ways to connect the two. How does Victory Junction and how can disc golf kind of come together? And it started in little pieces, you know, with the position that I'm here, the camp program director, and previous to that, one of the program managers. We started implementing aspects of disc golf into our program, into our summer program, into our family weekends, because disc golf is a great sport. You know, a camper that maybe, you know, in a wheelchair can still play the game. A camper that has arthritis, it's not going to be a team sport like football or basketball where there's a risk of being injured there. It could be more of a casual sport, and, you know, to give campers another outlet to be a part of a sport they can play and have fun with. You know, we included that in kind of our programs that we have here at camp. And if you've ever seen Victory Junction, I encourage you to visit the website, victoryjunction.org. But when we say camp, it's not what you're going to think. Victory Junction, we are completely wheelchair accessible. We're probably more comparable. Our campers compare us to Disney World because we have a three-story treehouse. We have a huge building that's shaped like a race car. I mean, we just have, the colors are so bright. There's red, green, purple, yellow colors everywhere that you go. We have a water park with a motorcycle in the middle of it that acts as our slide. We have mini golf. We have an indoor baseball field. We have bowling. So when I say the word camp, you know, most people tend to think of a residential camp, you know, in the middle of the woods with, you know, with old log cabins and no air conditioning. And that's not what Victory Junction is. We're built the way we are. We're purpose built for those campers that need those kind of accessibility or accommodations. And so trying to find a way to, you know, just walking around the property. And when I started to get into disc golf, you know, 5 years ago, some people knew, you know, they knew of the area, they knew of our campus, what we have. And, you know, they kind of started putting the idea in my head. They're like, Jacob, you should do a disc golf tournament there. I mean, can you imagine how cool it would be? I mean, it would be a venue that would be one of a kind. And so kind of from there, the idea stemmed. And I'm one of the two co-founders of this event. My colleague at the time, his name is Austin Weiser. The two of us kind of came up with the event. And when he started working here, we had talked about our passion for disc golf. And I remember we were sitting there one evening and we said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do a disc golf tournament here at camp to raise money for Victory Junction to send campers to camp. And that's where we get the name the Campership Classic, because our goal is to raise $20,000, which would sponsor 8 campers to come for 1 week of summer camp. And so, you know, we kind of started from scratch. We walked around the camp property. We kind of had an eye for some of the holes that we have. We got involved with some local disc golf clubs in the area, the Oak Hollow Disc Golf Club, the Zoo City Disc Golf Club, and the Capital Area Disc Golf Club. And, you know, kind of had some of the veterans of those clubs come around and help us, you know, kind of design a course. And, 2016 was the first year that we participated in it, and we had a great turnout. We had about, I think, 60 to 65 players register, and we ended up raising over $15,000, which was absolutely just fantastic. And then in our second year, we raised a little over $18,000. So we're currently sitting at, the last 2 years that we've operated this tournament, we've raised over $30,000 for Victory Junction. And that's just an amazing accomplishment in the disc golf world, or with any fundraising effort, but to see that in the disc golf world is fantastic. So we are continuing that trend, and each year trying to grow bigger and better and gain some exposure to tell people about this fantastic event, because it is truly one of a kind. I mean, you're not going to experience anything like the Campership Classic based on the fact that it's for a great cause. You know, we're throwing discs to help kids. We're giving them a camp experience they may otherwise never get to have. And this is done free of charge for those campers. You know, we have two rounds on a course that tees off from a three-story treehouse. We have a hole that you're throwing through a 65-foot metal tunnel, you know, over the pond, over and around the Adventure Tower. I mean, it is just a very unique course, and we play two rounds, and we serve breakfast and lunch for our participants, and I invite campers and their families to come give a testimony on what camp means to them. And on hole 17, before our players tee off, we have a camper lead them through a little cabin tour to kind of show the players, you know, the ins and outs of the cabin, what that means to our campers, And just, again, it's a great reminder of what it's here for. Steve, it's one of the only tournaments that, you know, I've seen people throw disc in the water and they turn around and, you know, you would think they'd be really disappointed. They're like, you know what? It's for a great cause. It's fine. I'll be okay. And so that's kind of the, you know, the history of our event and kind of where we're headed. And, you know, we're 2 weeks away from our third event. We've currently got 60 people signed up. I've got room for 30 more.
Wow.
So we're just spreading the word to get it out there. And again, just promote our event because it's truly one of a kind and, you've got to experience it.
Now I know, also, I'm looking on the website right now, and you can register as an individual or a team. So what are the, I mean, is that, how does that work? Like, would you have one person representing the team play, or how would that all come together for you guys?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So there's essentially two different websites. You can go to victoryjunction.org and learn about the camp. You can watch videos. You can see what Victory Junction is about. The Disc Golf website is actually called discgolfdoesgood.org, and that's where you can register for the Campership Classic. Now, the point that you bring up, the good question, is this is still going to be a PDGA sanctioned tournament C tier where individuals are competing. The question that comes about whether you're competing as an individual or as a team, that kind of has to do with the fundraising efforts that we do, because each participant that we have register, we give them access to our portal where they can help raise additional funds. And so they can choose to raise funds as an individual or be a part of a team. So locally, we've got, you know, the four or five disc golf clubs that are, you know, within an hour of Victory Junction. Again, we've got the Zoo City Disc Golf Club. We've got Oak Hollow. We have Cattle. We have the Charlotte Disc Golf Club. And so if you choose to register, you can affiliate with some of those local disc golf clubs, and we kind of have a friendly competition off the course to see who can raise the most money for camp. And the winning team, we have this thing called the Fan Walk, and it's just it's basically a walkway of bricks. And for the last 2 years, the winning team, you know, we will put a brick in their honor that they are the top fundraiser team for Victory Junction. And so they kind of have a memento that will stay at camp forever. So for, you know, as long as we're around. So that's the individual versus the team aspect of fundraising. But it's still going to operate as a individual based tournament, just like you would, you know, typically see within the PDGA.
OK, now, I obviously the. You know, you have campers there who can see the event. I know this is a temporary course. Is there a long-term goal to kind of get a permanent course there that the campers could actually play at on a regular basis?
Yeah, we're open to so many different ideas. I do have to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, Dynamic Disc. They have stepped up since the very beginning of our tournament, and have been, you know, been with us, providing some merchandise, providing some plastic for all of the participants. And it's not just Dynamic Disc. We've also had some other organizations step up. Innova this year donated a lot of great items for the raffle that we have. We have the Campership Classic raffle that participants can, you know, purchase some raffle tickets for it, a chance to win some really great prizes. We have Infinite Disc, which is a website that sells amazing products. They stepped up and donated the merchandise for our Ring of Fire that takes place afterwards. So our sponsors have just been phenomenal to us. We do kind of have the, you know, camp itself. We have some baskets that are around, and during our summer program and fall and spring programs, I'll set the baskets just in various locations of the camp. Are there plans to maybe put a permanent course? I would love to entertain that idea. I'd have to clear it with our facilities director because some of our current holes, you know, throw right beside the buildings. And so hopefully, you know, if we have some people that are familiar, you know, that are experienced in disc golf, they can control the disc a little bit more. When I've got the campers that are here, I need to have a few more open holes because sure. The discs tend to fly in many
different directions. Might need to have a special, you know, tournament layout versus everyday layout. You probably
exactly.
Don't want to be going from the treehouse every day, right?
Exactly. But that's, you know, disc golf is a part of our program. We offer it as an option for campers to participate in. So we kind of have an informal, you know, three or four hole course during our programs. But yeah, I'd love to potentially expand that to offer some more, you know, to expose our campers and to the amazing sport of disc golf. So.
Well, again, the event is the Campership Classic, and that is coming up on November 18th. You can go to discgolfdoesgood.org. For more information and to donate to the event. And actually, we'll make sure to put a link there in the description for this episode. Again, that was Jacob Bird. Jacob, thank you for coming on, and good luck with the event. I hope you guys surpass all those goals you've set for yourself.
Thanks so much, Steve. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
Thank you, Jacob. We'll be back here in just a moment on PDGA Radio. once again, you can learn more about the Campership Classic at discgolfdoesgood.org. We'll be sure to put a link to that in the description for the episode. And if you have a charity event that you would like us to talk about on PDGA Radio, this is the place for it. So hit us up, radio@pdga.com. We'd love to spread the good word about disc golfers doing good with their tournaments. So, Sarah, with that, when are we going to talk next, Sarah? You're going out of town next week, right?
I'll actually be in San Francisco next week.
Oh, very nice.
For a conference. And then I'm doing some serious traveling in December, so.
Serious traveling. So yeah, you might hear from me sooner than you hear from Sarah, unless I can get her on a tin can and some string halfway through the world.
Yes.
And again, we don't have a full schedule laid out. So if you are a dedicated listener who expects to hear from us every week, we appreciate it. We are sorry to disappoint you, but it is kind of getting in the off season mode, and we would just be sitting here rambling even more than we already do. So
we could do it.
We could certainly do it. I mean, Sarah and I could probably maybe send us some topics and we'll just go off, but, we'll just keep an eye on your podcast feeds. We'll try and do our best to communicate when we're coming. And I think maybe we should probably start like opening up a Twitter mailbag or something like that too, Sarah, and get people to interact more. We need more listener interaction. So hit us. You can always just at PDGA on Twitter. Like, I monitor the account. So if you have a PDGA radio question, just hit us there. radio@pdga.com. Sarah and I, you can find us on social media, all that good stuff. So yeah, I don't know, Sarah, until we talk next time, have fun doing what you're doing.
You too. Thanks.
Safe travels, and be sure to go play some glow golf. And post for the PDGA Radio Challenge.
Yes, definitely.
I'm hopefully going on Friday night. That's my plan this week.
Cool. That sounds good. I might just play a little bit in the backyard. That sounds more safe.
fewer potholes and roots to trip on.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what? My hazard for glow golf, because it's in like a park setting here, is sprinklers.
Ooh. Like the sprinklers going off, or the little sprinklers like tripping?
Oh no, like the sprinklers coming on, like when you're trying to play.
Okay. That's awesome.
But that's a good call too, the little sprinkler heads. You're a tripping hazard person, aren't you?
Yes, big time. High knees always.
All right. Well, be careful, wear a helmet, and I will talk to you soon. That was PDGA Radio. For Sarah Lamerson, I'm Steve Hill. Be good to each other, and we will talk to you soon.